Welcome everyone to another episode of Kiwi Talks. The man before me has a seriously impressive resume with over 20 years of experience working in the film, television and video game industries, from Grand Theft Auto 5 to Star Wars Force Awakens and Rogue One to Avengers Infinity War and Endgame to Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, the list goes on. I'd like to welcome Omar Fernandez. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Impressive resume, man, I must say.
Yeah. When you put it like this, yes, it is. It looks like it is, right?
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
A lot of good titles. I can say I was really lucky to get the jobs at the right time that got me those cool projects.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, I know you have a background in architecture. You studied architecture and you have a degree in it. How has that been integral in terms of how you've developed your skill set over the years?
It did help me a lot. Let me give you a couple of reasons, actually. It's like when I started architecture, I was not really into it. But the fact that I had classes that was focused on how materials work, especially when you go into construction, right? You need to know how wood works, what type of wood, what type of finishing. So that gave me, it took me like 5 to 7 years of getting classes about materials. So that gave me a really good understanding of how real world materials work. So that helped me a lot. And then you got the second part, which is you also have a lot of drawing classes, composition classes. So once you get to the end, it does give you a really good package of things you should know in real life, not only on computers, right? So when you're presenting your work, how you're going to present your work, how you're going to sell your projects. And that gives you a lot of leverage when you come to 3D. I know how compositions work. It's not something that I look at and I go like, oh, I need to do like the golden ratio and all that stuff. It's just because it was 7 years of having that almost every day. It gets into you. So once you go into 3D, it's really easy to, I know how to make this work. It's because it's just things that I used to do. But they used to do it by hand, right? They used to draw.
Yeah.
And for look dev, it was all those materials classes. Like every day, how a material will work, how you're gonna make your stairs look beautiful, all that kind of stuff. Like when you choose your finishing, when you're choosing like how the outside of your house or your current project should look like. When you come in contact with all those materials, because we used to go to class, we used to grab bricks, wood, and check all of those materials. Once I get into 3D, it was really easy to just find, okay, this does this, cool, this is what I need. So it was just mix and match. Not sure if you're understanding me, but it was pretty simple to be like, yes, got it. So.
Yeah.
It started, I was not very happy with doing it because there was no 3D classes in Portugal. But by the end, I'm really happy I did it because it did help me a lot. So,
yeah, I suppose these days you wouldn't do that, would you? You'd just go on YouTube and look at a whole bunch of courses? Is that what
probably.
You do?
Yeah. We didn't
not
have
like back
YouTube
in our
back
day.
Then. We didn't have YouTube. We had a couple of books that was pretty much copies from other books. And then it was, what software can we get our hands to? I remember in school, they started by giving us Maya on the first year just to teach us how to do simple 3D blockouts. But then they moved on into Max and, we just... whatever we could find, we would use it.
Yeah. Makes sense. So how did you end up at Rockstar and working on Grand Theft Auto 5?
So that happened because I actually, I got hired by MPC to go, apparently to go do Prometheus, and I was super excited. Prometheus was one of those projects I really wanted to work. Once I got there, they had another show that was coming in and they needed help. So instead of me going to Prometheus, I went to this other show, which was Dark Shadows.
Okay.
So I did Dark Shadows, and by the end of Dark Shadows, I had the choice of continuing, and he was doing another kind of fantasy movie. I'm not sure which one was it back then. But then a friend of mine in China called me and said they got like this really cool robot movie, big robot. And I was like, oh yeah, this is what I want, sci-fi. And I moved to China to do
Wow.
a movie that was Pacific Rim. And I went specifically for that because I was like, oh man, I'm going to work with ILM because we would be one of the ILM vendors. And I was like, I want to go, I want to work, I want to meet, I want to see how all these people do and everything. So I get there and I didn't like the experience because it was complicated, not because of the company. It was more about laws of the country and get used to it.
Right, yeah.
And the street food, I was not ready for it. So
What's wrong with the street food?
you have to choose the place where you eat, right? So China back then, and I know now it's way different, but back then you
Yeah.
had to choose where you're gonna eat, and I didn't. I was just like, oh man, this looks nice. Let's eat, let's eat. So it was not like a very good time. And I remember my friend called me. He was like, hey man, I know you're not having a good time. Do you want to join us? We need a lighting artist. And I pretty much said yes right now. So I was in China for 3 months and I quit. And I was like, hey, I'm just going to Toronto to join Rockstar because they need a lighting artist, and I just want to go back to something that's familiar to me,
Fair
because
enough.
China was a culture shock at the beginning.
Yeah. So, did you know you were working on GTA 5 when you got there? You
Not
knew what
really,
the
not
game was?
really.
No?
No. Fun fact, I never played a GTA before that.
What?
Yes, it was actually really weird because I get there and they tell me this is one of the greatest games in the world. They start selling me the pitch. They give me a lot of gear. They put me to play for like, it was what, like a full week of me playing that game. It was still, you
Which
know,
one were
working
you playing?
for.
So were you playing GTA 5 or were you playing a previous
GTA
one?
5.
Okay,
No,
so you're playing
I
like
was
an early
already.
build of it? Yeah.
I think probably alpha. You're still an alpha.
Yeah.
So I played for a while, and then I had, I think it was like 300 cutscenes to light up, and then I just got into cutscenes, start lighting up, and yeah, that was pretty much it. That's when I got to know what Rockstar was. And what GTA was and how big it was, because that was one of the things I didn't know. I was like, I didn't even know that these games are so huge, because all I kept playing at the time was Street Fighter. It's like all I wanted was Street Fighter. So all of a sudden I'm playing this game that never ends, and I was like, oh, that's actually cool, you know. And they're pushing a lot of boundaries, which got me really interested in it. Because you know that came out for PS3, if I'm not mistaken, and it
Yeah,
was just
and they've
like,
re-released it I don't know how many times, but I mean, I think it's the third highest selling game ever now. I don't know if you know
yes.
that.
No, I do. Now I'm a big fan. You know,
Oh yeah, nice, nice.
I'm a big fan of Rockstar. It was a great place to work. Really good friends. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
So were you doing one cutscene a week? Is that how it would work?
No, man. I
No?
wish. I wish. I think by the end of it, we just try to do as much as we can per day. But we develop a technique at in the meantime. So we're just like, okay, this is what we need. There was a lot of memory issues with the PlayStation, so we need to cut down a lot of things. It's not like let's do the most beautiful cutscene full of lights. It was more like you can use two lights. Do the best you can. It's just like playing around and try to match the best quality you can get with those limitations. But yeah, it was fun. It was fun, but really a lot of work. because back then we were two guys working on cutscenes.
Two guys just working on the lighting for the cutscenes?
Yes, just
Two
lighting.
guys for the entire project?
For the cutscenes, yes.
What?
And
That
by the
seems
end,
small.
it was small. By the end, we grew up a little bit. We added two more guys, but then they left, and just us two, we finished that. Yeah.
Because there must have been thousands and thousands of cutscenes. I mean, I'm
It
just
was
trying
a
to think
lot,
of all,
yes.
I'm just thinking of all the
Yeah.
different cutscenes. Because you got all the main campaign and then all the side quest stuff as well.
And you also got the things that pass on TV that
Yeah.
people don't notice that much. It was a lot of work on those two. Yeah.
So what was the experience of actually learning how all that system works, right? Because it's a AAA company, which I'm pretty sure you hadn't done at that point, at least at that level.
No.
So yeah. So what
It
was the
was a
experience like?
shit.
And it was shit.
No, it was a shock. It was a
Oh,
shock. I can
shock.
tell. It's like too many things to worry about. I wasn't expecting, especially because of the size of the world. Even when you go into cutscenes, that was still heavy on memory, and there was a lot of performance things that we need to take care of. And then it was just the amount of things we had to do. Is the first day I got there, and we are talking, and they go like, "This is all we have to do," and I'm like, "Okay, this is a lot." And as the project progressed, they keep adding more and more and more. And
Sounds
there was a couple
overwhelming.
of times. Yes, exactly. That was the word I was going to say. It was a couple of times where it's just like, "Oh man!" But in the end, it went well. We actually finished on time, so that was pretty cool.
Did you have to do crunch? Were you working long, long hours?
We did do crunch. I did crunch for, yeah, a couple of months, I guess.
What was the amount?
Nothing really bad from my point of view. I was working sometimes 9 hours, 10 hours a day. I used to come on weekends, do around 6 hours. It's not that bad. And everything was paid for, so anyway, it's not like, oh, it was really bad. No, you get paid for it, so it's fine.
Fair enough, fair enough. How do you find the difference between video games and film in terms of how you approach it? Is there one you prefer over the other, or is it just different challenges?
There was a moment in time, especially after GTA, that I would prefer movies just because the performance thing was stressing me out. And movies, I don't have that problem. It always depends on the computer you have, the amount of memory you have. So I can keep pushing until my computer goes like, "Hey, I don't have enough memory," and then I can just buy more memory. So, and that was a time. But I think lately, especially with all the Unreal developments, I'm not worried anymore, because I can get like perfectly good matches between V-Ray, which is my engine of choice when I come to movies, and Unreal, which is what I work on when I'm doing games. So I can get like almost a one-to-one. So I don't prefer movies or games anymore. It's just like, oh,
So
I can get the
Unreal
same
is,
quality.
Unreal has made it a bit more seamless, or
Yeah.
easier, I should say, in terms of,
Yeah.
I suppose, removing a lot of the monotonous stuff, I guess.
Yeah. It's not the monotony. It was more about things you have to worry about so you can get to the end, right? I remember when I started working, the first game I worked, it was on Unreal 3. And it was really hard to light up cutscenes because all we could do is use one key light, because it would just like get super slow if we go anything above that. And nowadays you can just do whatever you want, depending on the computer, of course. But you can, if you got a 3090, it's enough to just grab, start putting stuff there, and you could get like really high quality images out of it. So
What do you think the hardest thing is in regards to lighting?
I don't know. Here's the thing. So when I started lighting, I took a different route. I went and I started studying what the professional photographers were doing. And I, for a moment in time, all I was doing was try to copy what those guys were doing. So I used to look at setups, and then I started to understand, okay, you got soft lights, you got hard light, all that stuff. You can close the light, you can open the light with the gates and all that stuff. I'm hoping I'm not saying this wrong, because, you know, sometimes lately I'm speaking more Portuguese, so it gets hard to translate things sometimes.
Yeah, it's all right. Take your time. Take your time. It's fine.
Okay. but once I got to understand all the techniques, and, you know, I still buy a lot of books from people, from professional photographers, and I copy what they do. So, and lately, you know, you put a light, GI is pretty much on by default, so you don't have to worry about that. So it's more about an artistic thing. So it's not hard. It's like, what do you want to do? That's why I don't look at it like it's complicated to do light. In the beginning, it was more technical. We didn't have GI. We had to fake skylights with like a hat full of lights to try to get those little shadows working. That was annoying to do. But, you know, nowadays, I think it's pretty straightforward. You know, you just got to light up for the scene, make sure you match your reference. That's all I say to my team. Like, if you want to light something, just look at the reference, try to match it. Should be good. Let's study what the other guys are doing. You know, always find a reference. That's what I tell them. And if you find a reference, I think that makes the job easier than to try to, you know, let's do something and you quite don't know what you want to do.
Now, one of my favorite Star Wars films, particularly from the Disney era, is Rogue One. I know that was one of your favorite projects to work on.
Yes.
Why is that?
First of all, the director was amazing, Garrett.
Because he's a visual effects artist, right? So he knows.
Yes,
he's got a background in it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice to work with him. Second, the team that I was working on was amazing, and I managed to touch cool stuff that I wasn't supposed to touch, but, you know, they didn't have enough artists, so I was grabbing stuff and I'm like, I can do it. So I managed to like do a little bit of modeling. I went to the modeling team because they were like, oh, we don't have enough modelers because they're in another project. And I'm like, oh, I can model. So managed to model a turret, a couple of destroyed versions of the U-Wing. And then I moved on to the generalist side, where it was just like environments, lighting, you know, all that cool stuff that journalists do.
Yeah.
And the whole project was pretty chilled out. Like, no extra hours. Everything went fine. Everything. They had a clear vision of what they wanted. So it was one of the nicest projects I worked. Like, I have no bad memories at all of that project. Everything was so smooth all the way to the end. So that was pretty nice, yes.
I thought it might be good to go over some of your artwork, actually.
Yeah.
Where was it here? Okay. All right. Can you see the screen in front of you?
Yes.
All your amazing work here. So this is what you're talking about here, Rogue One, right? So
yeah.
Yeah.
The turret. Also, the turret gave me a cool idea, because they wanted to simulate water coming down the turret, and I created it with the shader, so that was challenging, but it worked pretty well. If you see the shot, you see water running down the turret, so that's all created by shader. That was cool.
Is it? Yeah. And then the ship as well.
Yeah, that's the destroyed version that I did. So I only modeled the destroyed version, all the broken parts, like the ship was already modeled when it came to me.
Is it easier to model in night as opposed to day, because you don't have to have as much detail because it's masked by the lighting?
First of all, it's Star Wars. Second of all, it's ILM. So every single detail is there. When I model this, you know, this goes into turntables, day turntables, night turntables, over, how do you say, cloudy turntables. It goes through everything. So everything needs to work. This is one of the versions of the turret. It started like that. Then they decided they wanted taller, so we did the second version.
Oh, I see. Okay, so this was the initial one, and then the second one was the final turret model.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember how long it took you to make this?
The turret took me around 2 weeks. Yeah.
Nice.
The first version. The second version, it was like another week because it was just, you know, some of the things were already done. All I had to do was scale it up, had more plates on the side, do a little breakup in the front. So
yeah.
It's quicker to do.
And did you get to include stormtroopers from
they're already
from a far
there.
Distance? Oh, okay. those weren't yours.
No.
No.
Those we use for scaling. Yeah.
Right. So this is GTA 5. A couple of your scenes here.
So this was in-engine shots that I took when the game was launched. And, you know, this is one of the things I was talking about. Like, we already have the environment light. In this case, I could use only one light for Michael. So I got one light to the front just to kind of give me that profile of his face. This was the kind of challenges this project has. Because it's like, okay, we're already going above the frames per second. So we need to make sure we tone it down. So I can only use one light. Sometimes I could use two lights. I think the second shot was two lights, actually. I got one fill light from screen left, and then I got the key light from screen right.
All right. I see.
Yeah.
And so the frame rate can drop dramatically if you have too much lighting. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah. Back in PS3.
Yeah, back in PS3. Obviously, it wouldn't be the case now. Yeah.
this was a hard one because so many
characters on screen at the same time, and you have to keep performance up as well, right?
Yeah. So this was hard. I managed to play it with, I think it was two. There's two lights. There's one from the computer screen, lighting the guy in front, and then there's a top light that's kind of in the middle of all of them, that gives, like, you know, it's almost above Franklin but a little bit to coming this way, because I also needed to light up Michael. Not Michael, I forgot the other guy's
Trevor?
Name Trevor. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this one I had just two lights, and then in the back there's still the game lights, the environment game lights.
Yeah. So do you get some sort of pop up that notifies you that the frame rate's going to drop as a result of the lighting?
You have the in-game stats.
Yeah. So would it be like a line, and then it tells you if it's dropping?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so you can dial it back if you need to.
Yes. Sometimes if the light, you know, if the area that the light is touching is too big, that will increase the frame rate because it's touching other areas. So you have to control it. I think the biggest challenge here was if the characters were moving too much, you have to be careful about all those fall off areas of the light, because you don't want that light to touch things that you don't need, because that will increase frame rate. Yeah.
Right. I see. So I would think if I was doing this, but tell me if I'm wrong, you would push it as far as you can first and then dial it back. So see what breaks it and then begin dialing it back. So that's what you do?
My trick in the beginning was I used to watch the entire cutscene, and I see where the camera is focusing, and I would put like small lights following the path of the character. And then after I have all the path, I would start, every 3 lights, reduce it to one. And then it's like, can I also reduce this one? You know what I mean? It's just you start going because one big light will touch things that you don't want it to touch, like the walls. And I didn't need it to touch those. So I was like, okay, let's put small lights, all controlled, see where he goes through. Make sure he's not in shadow because one of the things you would pass, it would happen sometimes is you just go through a light, he has light, then he goes to a shadow, then he goes into another light because I had like two spotlights just to check the path he was taking. After I had that, then I would start reducing, and try to reduce as much as I could.
Right, and what about stuff out of frame? Because even though there's the camera there, it'd still be lighting, I suppose, that's out of frame.
No, I don't think that counts. I think he was only
No.
what he sees, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So I suppose lighting the face is probably the most important aspect when it comes to this stuff, right?
That's what I try to do because the faces had so much expression. That's all I wanted to do is, especially when it comes to Trevor, is like all I wanted to do is light up his face because he was always doing some random stuff. Anyway, and it was always a surprise to get another cutscene and just play and go like, what's going on, and I would always put it like, okay, let's try to light the face. Make sure the camera is not looking at the entire character, right? So if the camera is just checking half of the body of the character, I would reduce the light to just hit on half of it, so he doesn't need to light up his pants or stuff like that. But
And I suppose you get the cutscenes out of order as well, so you wouldn't even know what the heck is going on, I'm
yeah,
guessing.
yeah.
You're just lighting the scene, but you have no idea about the context.
No.
No.
Yeah, this was a cool one because and don't forget the light always needs to work for day and night, with the exception of a few cutscenes that were time scripted. So when I was doing these two guys running, I had to plan the lights to work at day and at night. So
Ah, yeah. And I suppose it would be harder because of the contrast of the colors that they're already wearing, right?
you have to account with the skylight system as well. So in this case, we already had the sun. I remember I just put a light in the front to light them up in the front because it was really dark. And then at night, I would just see the position of the moon and play around with the light that I put in order to work for both scenarios.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you ever go up to like one of the artists and be like, "Hey, can you change the color of these people? Like, change the color of what they're wearing?"
No. And is another cool thing. When I got that cutscene, they didn't even have the body armor. They were just running around with the regular clothes. I didn't even know what they're doing. It's just like they're running and I light it up. And then when the game got launched, that's when I saw it. I was like,
So you did the lighting first, and then they went back and they changed what they were wearing.
I think everybody was working at the same time. So that's it.
Right.
Like while we were
Okay.
doing some things, people were doing another things. It was a lot of work. So yeah. It's another one, just the moon catching
Oh,
it.
so you're
This is,
using the moon lighting to light up his face?
And I added another light just not to be dark. But this is a cool case of you see how well his face is lit, but the ground is not. Just because if the light reaches the ground, you would increase the frames per second. So I was just like, okay, let's just hit the body and try not to hit anything else.
Right, I see.
Yeah.
Smart, smart. And then our boy Trevor again.
Yes. This house.
Lot of lighting.
I remember this house, man. This house was painful because the lighting inside of the environment was already heavy. We didn't have a lot to play with. So here I was just pretty much forcing the key light. I just put lights just to give it like a big boost on where the key light hits. You can see by his face, there's a big key light coming from the lights in the back. But if you look at the knives, the light doesn't touch there. It should touch as well, but it doesn't. So it's just like focusing on the character.
So would your lead give you direction or largely leave it up to you?
Yeah, he would give me directions in the beginning, especially in the beginning. He showed me a lot of stuff, a lot of tricks that he used to do. He taught me a lot of things in the beginning, but I think halfway to the end, he was just like, we have too many cutscenes. You already know what to do. So I do my stuff. You do your stuff. We review it in the end, see if it looks good, pass it along.
Okay, sweet.
Same idea here. Always a key light, you know, just try to reinforce his face. It was always the same trick for me, at least. I was always like, let's light up his face and then see how much of the body I can lit up as well. And this is one of those that goes on the TV. So this is one of those that I remember I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he didn't see this yet. And he's a big fan. And he's like, man, I didn't see it yet. And I had to show him, like, go to YouTube. You can follow the story of this guy, because there's a whole, it's like a 6 episodes of the life story of this guy. And not everybody managed to see it. And it was cool because, you know, it's been, I don't know, 10 years, 12, I don't even know how many years. And I'm still telling people, look, there's cool things in there that you guys didn't see. And they go back and they play it and they see it. They're like, oh, yeah, man, that totally went through, right? It's just all the small details that Rockstar puts on the games that makes that stuff amazing.
Do you think that with GTA 6, lighting would be easier or harder?
I'm pretty sure it would be easier.
Because of the tools available now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, there'd be way more involved. But yeah. Okay, that's cool. What's another one? I have to ask you about Rings of Power, being from New Zealand, and I know some of this was filmed here. But did you reference the original Lord of the Rings films when you were doing any of these visual effects?
No.
No.
Let me tell you something. I'm not a big fan of Lord of the Rings. I didn't see them.
You still haven't seen them?
No, I know bits of it, but I never managed to sit down and see the whole trilogy from start to finish. Which it was okay when I got here. I had really good concept art for this. The thing was, once I got here, I had to kind of look dev to match as much as I could to the concept. So
yeah,
that was cool, but for the original trilogy, I have
That's
no
so
idea.
Interesting, because
I saw The Hobbit.
Oh, you saw the Hobbit films. Okay.
The first one. What? The first one.
The first one. Because
it was 60 frames per second, and I was like, okay, I got to see this. And I went to the movie and I saw it, but I didn't see the other two. So
I never actually saw it in 48. Is it 48 frames per second? I think it was.
Yes, 48, not 60. Yeah, you're right. 48.
Was it? Was it? Was it good or was it bad? Or was it just weird?
It was a weird experience, but I liked
it.
Everything was smooth.
I saw Avatar: Way of Water, and that has a couple of scenes that were in 48 frames per second. And I found it quite jarring when it would switch from 24 to 48, because I could tell.
Yes.
But maybe if it's shot entirely in 48 frames per second, it might be different. I don't know. That's partly why I asked.
By the middle of the movie, I think I kind of forgot that. Then I kept going with the movie all the way to the end. But I think the first 30 minutes was just like, whoa, this is nice, man. This opens like a whole new world of how to do movies. It was cool. It was very cool. But the original trilogy, no, I didn't see it.
The only reason why I asked is because, from what I understand, is this show is based in the same world as Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings films, apparently. So I thought the tone and in terms of the visual effects, they might have to be similar. But if you didn't even watch them, then I suppose that makes the whole thing moot.
No, and I only got into this project because of this sequence, because I was in another project, and then there was a little bit of time off between projects, and they asked me if I could do this sequence. And it was a super cool sequence because I saw a couple of concept arts, and I was like, okay, I need to put my hands on it. And I started working on this, and it was cool. It was really cool because every single bit of art that I saw for this, it was just amazing, like crazy good. And then as soon as I started working, I matched it. The client was pretty awesome as well to work with, like really good feedback. And then everything I was worried about was small details, like all this, how many small details I could put it. Like if you notice the shot, all the trees are moving because there's wind going around. It's like some birds flying, all that stuff.
So was this an actual shot that was then enhanced with visual effects, or is this a completely visual effects shot made from scratch?
It does have a little bit of plate. When you move a little bit to the front, he does have a little bit of plate. But it's just a little bit of the wall on the right side.
Right.
If you go on the second image, if you go down a little bit, it was one of those walls on the top. I had to match that and make sure everything worked together.
Is that very hard to do?
No, it wasn't very hard because I did have like good photographs, like a lot of good photography from the place. So it was easy.
Yeah,
it's not one of the most complicated works to do, especially when it comes to the rocks. It's like I had bigger challenges here, which one of them was, how can you sell those heads to be that size, especially with a small boat? So that took me longer to solve than to match that rock.
Well, because it's a sense of scale, right? So
yeah,
it, even if the boat is big, if it looks small compared to the head,
yeah,
then it gives the grandiose feeling of those heads.
Yeah, that was hard. Also, the rocks in the beginning, because I had to come up with a way of doing this because I was doing the entire sequence, so not the entire sequence. I was doing the look there for the entire sequence, and I had to pass it along. So there's a lot of procedural stuff that I had to use. And if you see in the rocks in the beginning where the boats are, when the boat is going through, right in the beginning where you see the tower, like all that rock, yeah, all those two rocks from left and screen, right? I had to procedurally do that. Like where's the wet rock? Where's the moss? Where's the dry rock? Where's the in-between? And I had to kind of develop like this super complicated shader to have all of those, because then I would just pass this along to the rest of the team and they just could drag and drop, and it would work because it was always based on where the water is and it would kind of pile up. That was cool. It was cool to do. I always like this kind of projects that kind of help me go into the shader network and try to come up with stuff that looks cool, and I don't have to, like, you know, paint my hand or
And you got to work on the Avengers, man. Like,
yeah,
both of them.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Infinity War was.
Which one did you prefer to work on, Infinity War or Endgame?
Endgame was, it gave me an opportunity to lead the team. So it was a brand new challenge. So I would say Endgame was better.
Do you have anything here? I don't think you do. Do you? Endgame? Is there anything for Endgame? There's only this reel here, but.
Yeah, I didn't put anything weird.
You need to update it, man.
Oh, man, I was so busy, man.
Yeah, for sure. So this sequence here, so this is one of the ships that's landed in Wakanda.
No. That's Shuri's lab. So Shuri's lab is
Oh,
actually
yes,
done
it
by
is too.
another.
Sorry. Yes.
Yeah,
My
Shuri's lab
mistake.
is actually done by another artist, Daniel, a friend of
So
mine in ILM.
the internals of Shuri's lab, is that what you mean?
No, he did the entire Shuri's lab. All I
Ah.
did here was the environment, like trees, rocks, all that stuff, and then I grabbed this model and I put it on top and I render it.
Right. Okay. And
Yeah.
this is just the same thing, but from a different
Yeah. It's
angle, I
when they
guess.
fall. The,
Yeah,
they they're
yeah.
fighting and they fall through the window. So yeah, that was so everything environment wise was done by me. Of course, the smoke plumes were done by effects artists. Then
Yep.
Shuri's lab was done by modeling team, modeling and texturing. And then there's also like those two guys falling
Yeah,
down
you're falling.
that you barely see.
So a visual effects artist did that, or did you do that?
I just rendered them out.
Oh, okay,
It was
right.
done. Animation was done. They follow like the regular pipeline. All I had to do was grab them, put them in scene, and render it out. Yeah.
Right. So with all these trees, is it like a copy and paste sort of thing? Like you can take trees and just kind of stack them on top of each other to give the illusion
It's
that there's a
a
forest
mix
here.
of things, actually. It's I use a lot of plugin called Forest Pack from my two software.
Okay.
And what he does is he scatters objects around. So I created a bunch of trees. I used Forest Pack to create like several colors for the trees. That's why you can see like difference in sh color shading of the trees. I would animate the trees beforehand as well. And as soon as I grab forest, you will also copy those trees or scatter those trees with the animation that I did. And then it was pretty much grabbing areas. Like this area is only this kind of trees. This area is just bushes. This area is use these other type of trees. And then I can use forest to kind of scale them up, scale them down, rotate them, give them different variations, you know. And that's what kind of makes it look different. Although I have like a crazy amount of trees for the shot. It's not like I
It is
have
a
two
lot of
trees.
trees.
It was
Yeah.
like types of trees. I have a lot here. I forgot how much, but I remember I was just going through trees like nonstop to kind of create that diversity that I needed.
Yeah. Do you ever reference things in the real world? Images from
I do.
nature, or you go out into nature to inspire you to do some of these shots?
Yeah, I do.
Nice.
One on this one, I forgot where was it, but like on Rings of Power, those two rocks that I was talking, I actually went to a place here called Peniche in Portugal, and I took pictures, and I pretty much replicated that.
Nice.
Yeah, I always do it. I don't trust my memory, so I make sure I always got good reference, and I try to match those.
Yeah. This one here. Oh, this is cool. Lego.
Yeah, this is I did a couple of works for Lego back in my days for Lego Ninjago and Lego Friends. And this is
Yeah.
one of the things I put together just for my kid because he's crazy about Lego. So I made this poster just for him.
Yeah, and you got this
Yeah.
one here as well, which
Yeah, that's
was,
Ninjago. That was
yeah.
actually from the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Is
We
it
did
actually,
the cutscenes.
is it a lot harder than people think to actually do Lego because it has a very specific style, right?
It took a long time to render because everything is plastic. Everything was reflecting and yeah. But remember, this is not the same quality as the Lego movie. Because the Lego movie, you can see all the small details. But in
Yes,
this
yes.
case, we are rendering this for the Vita, Nintendo Vita. No, sorry, Sony Vita. Yeah.
Because
PlayStation Vita,
these are
that's it.
pre-rendered cutscenes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yep.
So they had like 720 by 480. So a lot of details, it's easy to get away with. So you don't have to go like crazy detail on how the plastic should work. It's just like it looks like it, so let's roll with it.
Yeah, well, it must be harder now because obviously with the state of hardware as it is, and you've got 4K now, you have to get right in and do all the intricate details because people will be looking, particularly if it's on a big screen or a big monitor, right?
But that also depends on timings, right? Because I remember for this show, I had like I think 3 weeks to do it, but all I had to do was look dev and lighting. So I had 3 weeks to do. So it's pretty different than a Lego movie where it takes, I don't know, 1 year, I guess. I have no idea, between pre-production
Yeah.
all the way to the end. So
And Batman versus Superman.
this was lighting the car. This one in the bottom is just the rock, everything, and the interior of that rock is all CG when he breaks it up. So I had to match the interior with the exterior, match lighting, all that kind of stuff. I came super late to this project, so
What,
I
towards
only
the end?
managed. I think it was like 1 month away for delivery, and they had like
Really?
this couple of shots to go, and I managed to grab a couple and just do it. So
Yeah.
Division, yeah, this is pre-rendered cutscenes by using in-game assets. This is my time in
I see.
Massive.
'Cause you did just cinematics? Is that all you did for this game?
So all I did was I replaced the trees, animated the trees, grabbed every single building they had, improved the texture, some modeling that I had to do. I modeled a bunch of buildings in the back as well. Had to redo the look dev of the helicopter. And yeah, I had like a lot of stuff on the floor. It's
I
like never
suppose
ending.
you can get away with certain shots like this because of the blur in terms of some of the details, particularly if it's far away as well, right? I mean, with the helicopter, no, because it's right in front of frame. But I suppose, are you always looking, I don't want to use the word shortcut, but looking at ways of cutting corners to save on time, but also to maximize the effort you're putting in it at the same time.
I think it's more like you look at a shot and you see what's in your face. So that's the highest quality you're gonna have. And then you start building from there. And that's what I do. It's like, okay, the helicopter is the first thing I do. Let me improve the helicopter. Let me do everything. And then if you see the buildings, I pretty much got like a bunch of procedurals going through them just to give me, the highlights where I need it, all that kind of stuff. But I would spend a lot of time in the helicopter and then move on to the back because I know I don't need that amount of detail.
And you've only
And
got a
then,
certain amount of time as well, right? I mean, you've got a deadline, you have to complete these things.
And then everything you don't see, you just take it off. Like I can tell you, most of these buildings are just a L shape. There's nothing
Yeah, there's nothing
behind them.
inside, right? There'll be nothing inside. They're just exterior. Exterior shapes. Cool.
Gotta update that as well.
Aquaman. How?
Aquaman, this was
Yeah.
a challenging
Well,
project.
because of the water, right?
Yeah, not only that, I had to animate every single plant that you see in this shot. And it was really hard to animate to make it look like it was under, because animating like this is easy, but when it comes to water, everything is slow. And depending on the current of the water, you need to. It's a lot of work. A lot of work. There's a lot of back and forth between me, the supervisor, trying to see what I could do to match the reference we had from, because there's a couple of videos they shot in the ocean, so we could try to match it. But
Yeah,
that
'cause
was
because
that.
footage doesn't look the same as it would outside of water. 'Cause it has a very unique way of how it looks in front of a camera, stuff that's underwater. So it's good you had reference.
That They always give you a reference for this. If they don't, you just gotta go find it.
Yeah, you gotta
And
go find the
then,
reference.
yeah. Then there's this shot, which is when Arthur opened his eyes and he can see underwater in the dark.
Yep.
This was, ends up by matching whatever they wanted. It's not my preferred shot in the show. Because you try to make it as real as you can, and then they go like, "No, I want this dreamy," and then all your real efforts go down the
Yeah.
drain, and they just start adding lights. But it's still a cool shot, and if you see it in movement, everything moving, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, well, that's the main thing. And I like all the subtle details with these. What are these green things? Are they fish? What are they?
No, it's barnacles. All the
Barnacles. Okay.
barnacles that stuck to the boat. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's a nice touch.
Yeah.
You got some good stuff here, dude. I'm gonna wrap up there. If anyone wants to keep up to date with what you're doing, is there a place they can do that?
Probably ArtStation. I
Art
think
Station.
that's the most up-to-date thing I have. If you don't see nothing getting updated for a while, it's because I'm probably crazy busy at work.
Well, yeah,
So
I can see that you definitely are busy by just looking at your
yeah.
work. I'm like, oh, yep, okay, this guy definitely.
Yeah,
Definitely,
can't stop.
yeah, he's definitely working those hours, but
Yes.
yeah, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening to do
No,
this.
thank you for having me, man. It's always good to talk about my work. I like it. It's like
Yeah, well, yeah.
it gives me a chance to give an insight of what I do, especially like small details that people don't notice, and sometimes I like to. Did you
For
notice
sure.
that?
And there'll probably be other artists that'll look at this stuff and learn something from it or get inspired from it. So it's
Hope
good.
so. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that is the show, everyone. Make sure you share, like, and subscribe. And until next time, stay safe.